So tonight in our class, what we're going to do is we're going to skip around a little bit. The Kli Yakar, as we've been noting of the last few weeks, has a diverse, we'll just say, notebook from which he pulls out the different ideas which he has, often relying heavily on the text itself in order to produce his pearls. So in the Parsha of Vayetze, just to summarize quickly, we have Yaakov leaving from his parents' home. He's running away essentially from Esav, who has quietly threatened to kill him when their father dies. Of course, Yitzchak's going to live another 57 years, so by the time that happens, it seems that Esav may be over it, but we'll talk a little bit more about that next week. Anyway, Yaakov leaves, and he goes to Haran, where his uncle Laban lives, and his plan is to marry one of Laban's daughters. And, of course, he first meets Rachel, and then, as we know, ends up marrying two of Laban's daughters on account of the trick that Laban pulls. And then his family begins to grow, and through the course of the Parsha, he has 11 sons and a daughter, and he ultimately attains his wealth and then returns back to the land of his ancestors. So what I'm going to do today, I always make a four-page sheet just because it's hard to pick between all the different things which I want to look at. So I want to start with Perek Lamed. With Perek Lamed, that's the part which is in bold on the third page. Okay. No, not Perek Lamed, not that one. I lied. Yeah, I know, I said Perek Lamed, but I lied. That's not the one I wanted to do. Okay, I want to start with Perek Chavtes. So on the second side of the first page. So page two, okay? And we're going to go from there. Anything which is in brackets, you know, we'll get back to, but I do want to conclude with the last one, which I put out of place on the back of page four. That will be the end. So when we have about 5 minutes left, we'll turn to there. Okay, so Perek Chavtes, chapter 29, involves when Yaakov gets to the land of Haran, and he first meets Rachel, and then soon after he meets Laban. So if you have a chumash, we'll start at the very bottom of page 148, the last verse. Okay, so after Yaakov meets Rachel, she is a shepherdess. She's bringing her sheep to the well, and she seems to have a lot of independence. So Yaakov says to her, "I am who I am. I'm Rivka's son." So she runs in and tells her father. The last pasuk on page 148, "Vayehi," and it was Kishmoa Lavan is Shema Yaakov and Achoso. When Lavan heard everything that Yaakov had to say, that Yaakov, the son of his daughter, "Vayorat Lekroso," and he ran to him, "Vayechabeklo," and he hugged him. Vayinasheklo, and he kissed him. Vayviel el beso, he brought him to his house. Vayisaper la Lavan, he's called Dvarim Eila, and he told Lavan everything that all these things. What are all these things? That's a pasuk gimel. He told Lavan all these things. What are all these things? We'll get to that. Vayomer lo Lavan, Lavan says to him, top of page 150, pasuk yidalid. Vayomer lo Lavan, Lavan says to him, Ach atzmi u'sariyata, you are my, that's me, like you're my bone and my flesh, right? You're basically my flesh and blood, you're my close relative. Vayeshev imo chodeshimim, and Yaakov lived with him for a month. Okay? So Yaakov lived with him for a month. With that, the question is, what is Laban saying to him? Why does Yaakov appeal to him? So take a look at the Kli Yakar, Pasuk Yidalid, and that's again on the second page, a little bit in about the middle of the page. He says, Achatzmi v'sariyata. Achatzmi v'sariyata. V'fishin e'emar, v'yisaper Laban, it's called v'rim e'ele. Since it says that he told Laban all of these things, v'lo piresh b'mikra eze davar dvarim, or had dvarim asher siper lo, doesn't tell us what he actually said. V'havale l'mar, he's called asher karav. It should say that he told him everything that happened to him. What's all the things that happened to him? Meaning, his arriving in the in Haran, and what happened when he met the three shepherds and Rachel, etc. So, rather, the Kli Yakar says, Ella, vaday shesiper lo osana dvarim asher diber Esav belibo. So he must have told Lavan the things which Esav had said in his heart. Okay, if we recall from last week's parsha, when Esav heard or discovered that Yaakov had taken his blessing, the Torah tells us that Esav said in his heart, whatever it was, that he wanted to kill Yaakov, and that Rivka, their mother, said, oh my goodness, if Esav kills you, I'm going to lose the two of you on the same day. What that means, by the way, is subject to interpretation. Right? There is one view that says if Yaakov dies, then on the same day Esav is going to die. But if you think about it, and I think the Chizkuni actually says this, he says, she says, Lama eshkal gam shnechem yom echad, why should I lose the two of you on the same day? The Chizkuni suggests that what did Esav say? Yikrivu yimei evel avi v'arga esachi. That when my father dies, I'm going to kill my brother. So what was Esav saying? That the day when my father dies, I'm going to kill my brother. And it has nothing to do with the idea that Esav is going to die on the same day as Yaakov. We know that Esav doesn't die on the same day as Yaakov, right? For whatever reason, okay, there is one midrash that says that Esav is at Yaakov's burial. There's another midrash, which I'll tell you next week. But Yaakov's burial takes place at least 70 days after Yaakov's death. So the idea that Esav and Yaakov dying on the same day is ridiculous. Rashi has an answer. He says that Esav and they would be buried on the same day, which is not what Rivka said. She said, "Why would I lose the two of you on the same day?" Anyway, so I think that she means I'm going to lose my husband and I'll lose my son Yaakov. So anyway, that's why she sends him away. So what does he say? He says that when that's what Yaakov told over to Lavan. The things which Esav said in his heart. He said, when my father dies, I'm going to kill my brother. And he needed to explain to Lavan, to his uncle, why Esav wanted to kill him. Because of the taking of the birthright and because of the taking of the blessings. And so that's why Lavan says to him, Ach, atzmi v'sariyata. He says, you are my flesh and blood. B'milas ach miet es Esav. With the word ach, he throws Esav under the bus. He says, Esav's nobody. You're me. Ki ohavei ashir rabim v'chol achei rosh sinauhu. Those who love the rich are great, and those who are the brothers of the poor, right? In other words, if Esav lost everything, Esav has nothing. Esav doesn't have the birthright anymore. Esav doesn't have the blessing anymore. So who's Lavan going to align himself with? The guy who has nothing or the guy who has everything? The guy who has everything. V'yamar l'fize ashirata, you're rich. V'im kach ach atol levad atzmi v'sari v'lo Esav. You're my brother, you're my flesh and blood and not Esav. V'al kein in chatzarech lira mimenu ki hu eno krovi. Says you don't have to worry about Esav, because Esav is not close to me at all. So he says, first of all, why does Lavan align himself with Yaakov? Because Yaakov has the dough coming in. Next, even better. Okay. Davar acher, levisha lo ra et sloma uma, sharei babi adayim reikanos. He didn't see any flaw in Yaakov, because Yaakov came empty-handed. Imkein ein b'cha akirba b'shem rekarven ashirim. Another way to look at it is, I don't need to feel attached to you because of wealth. Ki'im kirvas she'er basar levad. I only need to feel close to you because of our being relatives. Okay, so that's probably the nicest, to love on. That's the nicest interpretation, that you feel close to Yaakov because we literally are flesh and blood. 1 second. Davar acher, she'siper lo eich shirima es Esav bilkichas habachorah. Yaakov explained to Esav the entire background, how he had tricked Esav out of the birthright, if indeed he did trick him out of the birthright, which we discussed last week. So Amar, so Lavan says, Ach atzmi v'sariyatas. He says, you are flesh, we are kindred spirits. Atara mai kamoni, you're a trickster, just like me. Alkein ra'ui l'kar b'chai lai ki chamoni chamocha. He says, you're just like me, and that's why I'm going to bring you close to me. Now, there are those who say that that's what Yaakov was actually doing, to say to Lavan, not to say we're kindred spirits, but to say, try to pull a fast one on me. I'm pretty shrewd myself. And we know that Lavan nonetheless did pull a fast one on him, but who ended up pulling the real fast one in the end? Yaakov ends up getting two wives out of Lavan's shrewdness, and obviously he builds his family, but Yaakov also gets his wealth because of his own shrewdness, even after Lavan does all that he does. Okay, so we just see how the Kliyak are, in giving us three interpretations of Ach Atzmi V'Sariyata, And in trying to understand what it was that that Yaakov told over to Lavan, we see how Lavan's reaction of Achatz Mi Usariya, that you're my flesh and blood, could have different meanings. One of them being nice to Lavan, right? That we just are close. And the other two being how Lavan seems to be capitalizing on what he sees as Yaakov's strength that he's bringing to the table, whether it's a financial strength or whether it's just a shrewdness strength. And so Lavan is identifying with that way. So three interpretations, you can pick which one you like. But you know, nice to see the text playing into the different ways we can understand how Lavan may have been greeting Yaakov. Okay, take a look at the very next one. So let's look at the pasuk. Okay, turn the page in the Chumash. So in the ensuing pesukim, which we just skipped, describe how Yaakov makes a deal with Lavan, saying, "I would like." Lavan says to Yaakov, "What are your wages? You're going to work for me. You've been with me for a month. What are you going to work for me? What do I need to pay you?" And Yaakov says, "You don't need to pay me. Rather, the deal that I'd like to make for you is that I will pay you, essentially. I'll work for you for 7 years in order to be worthy of marrying your daughter." Now, many point out that why is Yaakov doing that? Because Rachel, it's not that he needed to work for 7 years. Right? He could have given any amount. But why 7 years? Maybe Rachel was too young to marry at that point. Okay, so she needed to age a little bit. In any case, he makes it very clear who he wants to marry. Right, that's the phrase Rachel bitcha aktana, that he's making it very specific to Lavan who he wants to marry. And then what ends up happening is that Lavan brings Leah into the equation. And Yaakov somehow misses it. Now, how Yaakov somehow misses it? I saw one interpretation once that says that Lavan made a mishteh, and mishteh comes from the word shtiyah, which means that the wedding celebration was largely drink, which means that he probably got Yaakov drunk. And when Yaakov's drunk, there's a girl, she's in a wedding dress, all right, you know, good enough, the lights are dim, I don't know. Some say Rachel and Leah were twins, whatever that means, doesn't really matter. Obviously, the ruse was pulled off, and Yaakov married Leah. But then in the morning, when Yaakov discovers it, so he calls Lavan on it, and Lavan agrees that you can marry Rachel if you work for me for another 7 years. Okay, pasuk lamed, verse 30 on page 152. It's about six lines down. Vayavo gam el Rachel, vayehav gam es Rachel mileah. That he came to Rachel, okay, it's a reference to the marriage union, and then he loved Rachel Mileah. He also loved Rachel Mileah. So our scroll translates it to mean he loved Rachel even more than Leah. But the word Gam means also, and Mileah means from Leah, right? The Mem means from. So what does that mean? In other words, did he love Leah or did he not love Leah? And so, I mean, the very simple understanding is that you know, even though what the next pasuk says, "Vayar Hashem ki sinu'a Leah," that God saw that Leah was sinu'a, what does sinu'a mean? Right, sinu'a literally means hated. Was she really hated? If she was hated, wouldn't Yaakov have gotten rid of her? I mean, let's you know, the marriage was made under false pretenses. I mean, it doesn't make sense to keep her if that's the case. So I can't imagine that Yaakov hated her. The Kli Yakar actually says, I don't know if he says it, I don't know if I gave you this piece, But in one of the comments that he has is Chalila. Right? It's impossible that Yaakov hated her. That's ridiculous. Rather, she was less loved. And that's the way that most of the commentaries look at it. But what's the phrase Mileah? Mileah. So let's take a look at the Kli Yakar. Okay? Kli Yakar says, Vayahav, so I'm in Pasuk Lamed, right after the one which we just read in the Kli Yakar. So back on page 2, third paragraph at the bottom, at the Lamed. Vayahav gam es Rachel Mileah. Mashma, it comes to teach us, Shehaya ohevis Leah, that he loved Leah, Zulas shehaves Rachel yoter Mileah. Except that he loved Rachel a little more than he loved Leah, or maybe a lot more than he loved Leah. Vehapasuk omer, Vayar Hashem kisnu Leah. And the pasuk says that God, now this is, we don't have an extra. I made, alright, it's good to know. I used to make 15, and then 8 people showed up. So I made 13. And now 20 people showed up. Okay. Yeah, the blue chumashim have it. No, the blue macros gedolos have the Kli Yakar. Okay. No, listen. I'll win next time. I'll make 20 copies. No problem. But everyone who comes now has to come again. Okay. So
Yeah, pasuk on there, and the verse says, "Vayar Hashem kisnu alei." And the verse just explains that she's snua, whatever that means. Veod ma, so she, but you know, snua means less, but it doesn't mean hated. Veod ma hu gam. So he asks the question, what is the word gam? Yaakov loved her also. Venira lefisha yitrona chachma bamin hasichlus ki yitrona or abamin achoshech. He says, how does one look wiser if you compare it to somebody who's a fool? You have two people. One's a bright person, okay, whatever. And the other one's a fool. The bright person looks even brighter. Okay, just like you have light. How good is this light? So the light here is not so great. You know, it's not the strongest light. It could be better, and I think we're working on it. But you know, the lights are there. But if you go outside, it's clearly much lighter in here than it is outside. So he says, "Ke'ein nikar ezemale ad asher ro'in ha'heder ve'ro'in zekenegetzeh." You have to make a comparison, and then you see which one is more. Aznir biyoter yitrona chachma ve'or. When you compare a decently bright person against a fool, then the person is a genius. When you have a little bit of light compared with darkness, then it's really bright. Kach Yaakov hayo hevis Rachel mitzad atzma. He says Yaakov loved Rachel for who she was. But his love was even more so when you compared it to the love that he had for Leah. And we can understand this, right? Yaakov never intended to marry Leah, so he may have a love for her just on account of, look, okay, my wife, I'm going to grow to love her, that's fine. But in comparison, Rachel, who he loved before he even married her, so that's why the Torah depicts his love for Leah in that way. Once he had two wives to compare to, so he sees Rachel's qualities even more so than he would have before. Okay, Zeshenemar Vayahav Gamas Rachel Milas Gam Balarabos Tosefas Ava. The word also is coming to show us his additional love Hanim Shechas LeRachel Min Leah, which is coming to Rachel just from the fact that he was married to Leah as well. Umem shall milea ena mem ayitaron. The mem of that's attached to milea is not a mem which is showing how much more he loved her. Says another way to look at the mem is to show that it came from Leah. What do you mean, from Leah? So there is an interpretation that I'm sure many of us are familiar with, that the way Yaakov was fooled into accepting this woman as Leah was because Yaakov and Rachel had made some kinds of signs between them. So Yaakov would talk to her, it's dark, there knows no electricity. Yaakov talks to her in the nighttime, and he says to her, Rachel, and she says, Yaakov, and he says, you know, where are the stars? She says, off in the east. Well, whatever the simanim were. But in other words, she knew all the answers. And how did she get the answers? Because Rachel gave them to her. So Mileya means, when he talks to her in the morning, he says, wait a second, you're Leah. And she says, yeah. Rachel played along. So the love for Rachel grew because of the information that he got from Leah. You think Rachel, what do you mean? Leah, you were eavesdropping on our conversation? No, Rachel gave them to me. Oh my goodness. And now my love for Rachel is even more. Because Rachel's never going to say, I gave them to her. You know, she wouldn't want to do that. Perhaps, whatever that means. But anyway, but the point is that it comes to her. So he said, you're so extra caring for your sister, so the love for Rachel, which is added, comes from the information, which comes Mileya. Okay, so again, it's added. So you can look at it from the perspective of a comparison, and therefore Rachel is more, or the information which came from her, which came from Leah, which raises Rachel, in the eyes of Yaakov. And again, it's the Kliyakar jumping on, in this case, a word, Gam, and a letter, the Mem in Mileya. And this is just one of the reasons, as I emphasize each week, why I love his commentary, because he says, look, there's a mem here. It doesn't belong here. There's something to be learned from it. It's a beautiful, beautiful interpretation.
The behavior shows you the yichus to the father lava. They're all a bunch of characters.
Well, okay. You know, if you look at it from that perspective, you know, I mean, there is, listen, the fact of the matter is that Leah ends up mothering half of the tribes of Israel. So there, and being buried with Yaakov. So there is, you know, it's not such trickery as much as destiny, perhaps. Okay, you know, just throwing that out there. Okay, now
mentioned before that the pasuk that immediately follows, which was Vayar Hashem ki snua Leah, God sees that Leah is hated. Now, again, whatever snua means less love. That's what, again, as I said before, most commentaries say. But Leah actually uses the term in a little bit in pasuk Lamed Gimel. So in the first, so actually, let's look at these quickly. Lamed Beis, she becomes pregnant. Okay, Leah's womb is open, and while Rachel remains barren, Leah becomes pregnant, and she has her first son, which is called Reuven. Pasuk Lamed Beis, ki amara, because she says, Ra'a Hashem bi'anyi, God has seen my suffering. Ki ataya evani ishi. So Leah is of the view that now that she has a child, her husband will love her more. Vatar od vatelad bein vatomer. So she has another child. She says, ki shama Hashem ki sinua nochi, since God heard that I am, again, sinua, hated, less loved, whatever. Vayiten li gamazeh, so from the word shama, vatikra shimo shimon, she calls her son Shimon. So you'll notice that it's vatikra shimo Reuven, she names the first one Reuven, she names the second one Shimon. Vatar od, she's another child. Vatom rata apam yulavei shi elai, now my husband is going to accompany me. Ki elarati lo shlo shabonim, I've given birth to three sons for him. Alkein kara shimo levi. Now it's not Kara, now it's not Vatikra that she names the child. He names the child. Who's the he? That's an interesting conversation. Some say it's Yaakov, some say it's actually God, which is interesting because, of course, Levi, as we know, will later become the father of the tribe of Levi being the Leviim, the Kohanim, and why they need to be called that, so that it could be God who's having that. There's different interpretations on it. And then finally, Batarod Vatela Bain, she has another child. And it tells us, because she thanks God upon Modes Hashem, Alkein Kara Shemo Yehuda, she called the baby's name Yehuda, but Tamod we let us, and then she stops giving birth. Okay, so it's on this, on Pasuk Lamed Gimel, when we see that she is hated, again, at least in the way that she's naming her child. So let's look at the Kli Yakar. So second to last paragraph on the same page. Kishama Hashem kisinu anochi. God sees that I'm hated. Af al pi shebeledas ben arishon amra. Ki atoye evani ishi. Even though with the first child she said, my husband's going to love me. And certainly he's not going to hate me. So why is she now saying, I still feel hated after the first one? She thought that it would be such that after the first child her husband would love her. But it didn't work out that way. She was of the view that there's a Talmudic statement of this, which you can't just view in a vacuum, because if you view it only in a vacuum, it's not very nice, okay? And it's certainly not true, and I can't imagine that there's any husband in this room who would agree with this, just on the very simple level. She was of the view that says, a woman's only good for having children. V'haben ahuv b'li safek, while the child is loved undoubtedly, okay? But what's the woman's role? So, v'ech tiyeh, Bor snua umeimel chavivin. How could it be that the a bor is a pit? But in other words, the source of the of what is love. How could it be that the pit or the well is hated, but the water that comes from it is loved? Obviously, you have to love the vessel that produces the. If you don't have the vessel, there's no water. Similarly, if you don't love the wife, there's no child. So what are you talking about? So she assumed, of course, after my first child is born, that my husband is going to love me. But afterwards she said, nope, mistake. What was supposed to happen was that the second child to be born was going to come from the wife that hadn't given birth yet. Right? Rachel. When she sees that God gave her the second one, when she saw after the second one that Yaakov still didn't like her as much, then she said, God heard. He's the one who judges hearts. And she knows everything that's in his heart. She said, after having one child, I thought that my being less loved was no longer the case. However, apparently, it's not the case. The ode, next paragraph, the last paragraph on the page. The ode yachal lios shebeledas ben rishon ahavosa. He says, I'm sure that many people can relate to this. Shebeledas ben rishon ahavosa, that with the birth of the first child, he did love her. Lubeni beni niskagla ashura v'chazor l'sanaza.
Right? When a child is born, and I've seen this, unfortunately, too many times, because I'm a moyel, so I often meet people right after the baby's born. So in the day immediately afterwards, the husband is overwhelmed with love for his wife, gave me a child, unbelievable. By the time I get there, sometimes, okay? Now, it's not, obviously, in most cases, it continues, and it's beautiful. But sometimes, I see, like, man, your wife just gave birth. Like, a little bit of, like, at least wait until I leave before, before some of the things that go on. Anyway, and certainly don't fight over the kibbutim or the name, my goodness. Okay, but anyway, v'chazal l'sinasa, and he goes back to ways. It's, you know, it's not hatred, but it's just like, you know, not respecting in the way that it should be. Ki kein u'aminah. That's how it is. Shebeshaz haleida yismacha abiyotzech latzav. When a child is born, the emotional wave that goes over the father, it's insane. Biyotzech latzav. Agavo yismacha abiyishtosh l'chach, and he just loves his wife no matter what. And, you know, by the way, sometimes it happens. We know this as well, right? There's sometimes a couple that's having difficulties, and they say, you know what, let's have a kid, and maybe that'll bring us together. They have a kid, and it brings them together, but it doesn't really solve the problem, okay? It just actually exacerbates, unfortunately. But as time goes by, right? Unfortunately, sometimes we see that even after the birth of a child, that a divorce happens. Obviously, that's not happening here, but unfortunately, Olenu, it happens. And she said in prophecy, no, now my husband's going to love me. But it's specifically now, the time of the birth and close to the birth. However, not in the longer term. And she knew this because of the great divide that was in his heart between her and him. Sha'avazu loti akim lefisha, that the love that he had, when she says, when she names her son Reuven, ki atoye evani ishi, because now my husband's going to love me, she knew that love was only short term. Al kein amra ki ata, again, here's the Kliyakar, focusing on one word, atoye evani ishi, right now, but not in a little late, not in a little while. Uben sheni amra ki snua anochi, and with the second child, she says, I'm hated, or again, however snua is interpreted. However, by the time the third child came along, Alkain Karash Shemo Levi, he called his name Levi. Yaakov Karalo, Yaakov named it Laharos Shehu Maskim Devarea, to show that he was agreeing with her words. And that it was his desire to cling to her. Aval Babanim Akodnim, but with the earlier two sons, he Kara Allahem Shemos, Amorim Alava, she called them names that were demonstrating the kind of love that she was feeling, or not feeling. But we didn't see Yaakov agreeing with this notion of love in the air until she gave birth to the third child. And at that point, he demonstrated as well that his feelings of sinna, and whatever that means, were now gone. And that's why the fourth child is called Yehuda. Because now I can be grateful that my husband loves me. Now, I don't remember where I saw this, but just on a practical sense, right? Mommy has one baby, okay? One hand, baby number one. Mommy has two babies, okay, good luck, baby number two. Mommy has a third baby, she only has two arms. So who has to come in and help?
Daddy.
And that's why, Yilaveh Ishi Eli, my husband's going to be accompanying me. So she said he doesn't have a choice now. He's going to have to be there because I don't have three arms. So there's another interpretation showing how this name is understood and what it means in terms of both of them. Okay, last one here is Apami Levi Shilai. So with the naming of Levi on top of page 3, right? So we'll go through this one, and then we'll get to the one that I really wanted to do, which is, I think, fantastic. Hapami lavei shi'elai. Perish Rashi. Rashi's explanation, Rashi's interpretation, on the name of Levi. Hashem shelavu b'matanos kahuna karashma Levi. Because this child is imbued with the gifts of the priesthood, his name is Levi. Shelavu means it accompanies this child. V'akasuva mer. But the pasuk tells us shekara'o Levi al shem apami levei shi'elai. But the pasuk is telling us that his name is Levi because now the husband, in other words Yaakov, is going to be accompanying
her. The Akarove Laila Mars, he says that, so what I really think is the interpretation is that, Ki Amahos Ruach Hashem Diber Lo Shanam. Okay, and I talked about this, I mean, not in the context of the Imahos, but in the class that I gave on Shabbos, before Mincha, we talked about names. So there is a viewpoint which is espoused in the Midrash and in other rabbinic sources that Ruach HaKodesh, right, the Holy Spirit which can come upon a person, or you know, a smidgen of prophecy which can come upon a person, comes with the name that is given. Even today, there is an element of that extant today when it comes to the names that we give to our children. That somehow, you know, we get it right. We get it right because we're given a little bit of prophecy. So he says it's the same thing with the Imahos. Ruach Hashem diber alushanam. The Spirit of God was spoken through their tongue. Umasha amra b'leidas ben harishon keta yevan ishi, when she said about the first one that my husband will not love me, ha'isak avana ba'avur shenolad ben ha'bechor, because he was a bechor, he was a firstborn. And what's the rule with a bechor? Oved avodas Hashem yisbarach, yavodah yisab b'bechoros. Right, there was an understanding that those who were to work in the service of God, ultimately in the temple, were going to be the firstborns. And since Reuven was the firstborn, right, the first child born to Yaakov, even though it was coming from Leah, so that Yaakov, you now have a firstborn. So this is something which you're going to find special. You're going to love Leah on account of her giving you a firstborn. And Lufikach Yitzchak Ahavas Esav. He says that's one of the reasons why Yitzchak loved Esav. Lufisha Hu Bechor. Because Esav was the firstborn, v'chashav shehu yeh oved avodah, and Yitzchak thought that Esav was the one who was going to be doing the service of God. V'rivka ohevses Yaakov, and why did Rivka love Yaakov? Because what did Rivka know about Yaakov? Ki ruasa benevuah shal yadah tashuv abechor al Yaakov. She saw in prophecy that through her own hand, through her assigning the blessing of bechora, of birthright, to Yaakov, through the trick which she pulled, right? It wasn't Yaakov who did it, it was Rivka who did it. Yaakov just followed his mother's instructions. She knew that the Bechora was going to go back to Yaakov. And that's why Rivka loved Yaakov, because she knew that he was the one who was going to serve God. Kacham Leah. And that's why Leah says, Ki atoya evani ishi, my husband is now going to love me, ayidei ben ha-Bechor, because I gave him a firstborn. Ki bris kruza, because there is a covenant which is forged. Shele olam yeh ben ha-Bechor l'snua, that the firstborn is going to be born to the snua, to the less loved wife, kedei l'savev la ahava, in order to bring love closer to her. And that's the commentary of the Maharia, the Yitzchak of Abarnel, Parshas Kiseitzei, pasuk vaya b'chor la snua, when the Torah describes a man who has two wives, one wife who is ahuva, and one who is snua, one is beloved, and one is less loved. There the Torah says, the ben ha-bechor is going to be born to the snua. And see, the Abarbanel is saying, no, that's what's going to happen. It's not like, oh yeah, it happens to be that it's born to the snua. No, that's what's going to happen. Why? So that this way, the snua wife will become loved more. Aval kadosh baruch hu yada, shelasov tisova bechorah miruven aladei chil yitzuei aviv. But God knew that in the end, the bechorah would be taken away from Reuven. It's going to be stripped away because of the incident with Bilhah, which is going to happen in next week's parsha. So as a result, guess what? Leah may have thought that Reuven would bring the love closer to Yaakov, but God knew that it wouldn't, because Reuven's Bechora status was not going to last. And that's why she still remains hated, even though she gave birth to a firstborn. God knows that I'm still hated. And she doesn't say about her second son that, oh, maybe this one will bring the love around. No, this one, it's because I'm still not loved. Still not loved. Ad she yoledas Levi, shekara lo Hashem Levi. God calls him Levi. Al shem shelavu b'matnas kehuna, chiliv avodas Hashem asher alav. Since Levi is the one who does bring the avoda, Levi is the one who brings the service of God back to Leah's side of the family, so that's why that's why my husband comes back to me and I am loved. He's going to bear the burden of the service of God. He says, now I'm showing how Rashi is actually right. Often he disagrees with Rashi, but here he's saying, you see, now I get it, because she thought it was the first one, and it's not the first one who brings the avodas Hashem. It's the third son, Levi, and that's where we see how the agreement of where there is agreement amongst the commentaries that the love and the Chumash, that the love that is meant to come to Leah from Yaakov is accompanied by the birth of Levi. Okay, and that brings us to the very next verse. Last line on page 152, Perek Lamed Pasuk Aleph. Vatera Rachel ki lo yaladal Yaakov. Rachel sees she has not given birth to a child to Yaakov. Vatekanei Rachel ba'achosa. So Rachel became jealous of her sister. Vatomer el Yaakov havalibanim. So she says to Yaakov, give me children. Ve'im ayin mesa anochi. And if not, I may as well be dead. Vayichar af Yaakov v'Rachel. Yaakov gets angry at Rachel. Yomer Hasakas Elohim Anochi says, am I in the place of God, Hashem Anami Nech Privaten, that has refused you the child? It's not me. Now, we can argue whether Yaakov is saying something very nice or whether Yaakov is being very mean. Okay, it really depends on tone and it really depends on what Yaakov was trying to elicit from her. I talked last week about the idea of prayer. Now, prayer is supposed to, you know, bring this, whether Yaakov should have been praying for his wife, one question, whether Rachel should have been praying better for her. So the Kliyacha goes with a totally different perspective. Okay? Yes, it's about tefillah. We know that. Okay, there needs to be tefillah. Rachel needs to pray. Maybe Yaakov should as well. Okay, that's a longer conversation. But what is Yaakov telling her when he says, Hasachas Elimanochi, am I in God's place? Like, I'm not the one who's judging you. I'm not the one who's deciding you shouldn't have a child. Yaakov is saying, this is God's choice. Okay? And what's the point if it's God's choice? Right, if God's getting you, there must be a flaw in you. Now that's not necessarily mean. That's saying you got to do cheshbon nefesh. You got to start looking at yourself. So look at what the Kliyakar says. Amazing, amazing stuff. Okay, lefi sheRachel amra haya lechalas lispalel alai. Rachel's basically saying, Yaakov, you're supposed to pray for me. Yaakov Eshivla, Yaakov answers her, V'chi b'avur zeh amart hava libanim, is this why you're saying, give me children? Mash me'al kopanim, V'chi batuach ani, sheikabel Hashem tefilasi. You know, he's saying, I'm sure that God would accept my tefila, ki ulai yigrom hacheit, sheyizkach Hashem be'anan lo, me'avur tefila. He says, I don't know what the cause essentially is, that what's the sin that's causing God from accepting the tefillah? He called me sheniskabel tefillah so dome ki'ilu ome tachas Elohim mamish. Anybody whose tefillah is accepted is as if they're standing under God. Ve'en shum davar chotzeitz beino levein Elohim, and there's nothing standing between that person and God. Aval bezman she'en tefillah so nishmas dome ki'ilu yesh masach mavdil v'chotzeitz beino levein Elohim. But when a person's tefillah is not heard, it's as if there's a huge partition dividing between that person and God. Kemoshin Amar, and he quotes the pasuk in Echa, Sakosa Ba'anan Lach Me'avor Tefila. Right? There's a blockage from that prevents tefila from passing. Ve'anan Zeh Hu Achomer Ha'afel Asher Alpiv Yeh Kol Riv V'Chol Nega, and it's this cloud essentially which is blocking any real connection to God. Kemoshin Amar, Avonoseichem Ayu Mavdilim Beinechem Levein Elohim. As Yeshaya says, your sins are what prevented you from being close to God. L'kach Amar, Asher Manami Mech Privaten. And this is why Yaakov says that God has prevented you from having a child. Ki Me'achar Shemanami Mech. From the fact that God has prevented you, V'lomi Meni. Right? We saw before how when Yaakov has something to compare to, Yaakov knows that the children that are being born to Leah are his children. Okay, so he's not being prevented from having a child. He says, it's you. Im kein, vada yodei Hashem, sheyesh boch eiz avon. God knows that you have a problem, that you have some kind of sin. Asher garam limno mimech privaten, that has prevented you from having a child. Yoso avon yisakech b'li safek mavor tefila, and that's what's blocking your tefila from being accepted. Okay? What an amazingly powerful message. Okay, again, you can look at it as being mean, but you can look at it as well as Yaakov saying, Rachel, there's a flaw here, and I don't know what it is, but maybe you do. Because I don't know inside your heart, I don't know what you're doing when I'm not around, I don't see everything. So what is it? Because I'm not the problem, I'm having children. Again, it could be viewed as mean, but it could also be viewed as Yaakov saying, I'm trying, I'm doing my best, but everything that I'm trying isn't working. I want to have, you think I don't want to have a child with you? Of course I want to have a child with you. Please. But there's a blockage, and I don't think it's coming from me because I'm not being prevented from having children.
I still wrestle with this, though. I mean, I can see what you're saying as far as that.
So finish. This is so important. But if he doesn't address your question after this, then we'll go back to you, okay? Miad nasna Rachel eliba lefashvish maaseh. So Rachel took it and said, I need to examine my deeds. Eze avon garam la. What sin can I possibly have that's causing this? V'lo matzah, she didn't find it. Ki im midas hakina shahaisaba. What was it? It's right there. It's in the pasuk. Did anybody ever notice this before? Vatikanei Rachel b'achosa. She was jealous.
Initially, she wasn't jealous because she gave her the simanim.
That was before she was married.
So how? Yeah, I know.
What's the point of the simanim?
That's to let.
What's the point of the simanim?
Yaakov was supposed to be Rachel's wife, right?
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, Yaakov and Rachel was supposed to be married. Yeah,
it was supposed to be, and now she went and gave the simanim.
Okay, but what's the point of the simanim? What's the point of the simanim? To prevent her sister from being embarrassed. Okay, so she shouldn't be caught. But you know what? Okay, so you're not going to be embarrassed. Now, you take the opportunity and you tell Yaakov what's going on over here, so he won't embarrass you because he'll see you belong here, but at the same time, you know, don't consummate the marriage. The fact that she goes ahead and does it, and I'm not judging Leah. I don't think that's fair to do. We don't know what's going on through Leah's mind. But the fact of the matter is that once, right, there's a reason why the Hebrew word tsara, tsari reish hey, refers to what? What is tsaras? Right, tsaras? A co-wife. Okay? So she may have loved her sister dearly and wanted to prevent her sister's embarrassment, but the fact of the matter is, once you're in a situation, and we have no idea, until you're in that situation, we have no idea what's going on. Once you're in that situation, so the Kliyakar is saying, Vatikanei Rachel Bachosa, that's her problem. Let's finish it. Shenema Vatikanei Rachel Bachosa, V'chashva She'avon Zeh Garam Lashlo Yilat Tfilas Yaakov. She said, that's the sin that prevented Yaakov's tefillah from being accepted. Al-Kain, Nasna Eliba L'Shuv B'Tshuva. So Rachel committed herself to return to God. L'Hatos Al-Ktzeh Acharon, to go to the other extreme. B'Davar She'chatabo. And this idea, what she's saying, what's the next thing that she does? Yaakov says, is it me that prevented you from having a child? It's the fact that you're jealous of a co-wife. So what does Rachel do?
Does tshuva.
No, not just what she does tshuva. What does she do? She says, take another wife. She says, take Bilhah. Okay, and then Leah brings in Zilpah. And what does Rachel do? So it's okay. It's all good. It's all good. Right, later on, Leah's son, Reuven, brings the flowers, the Dudaim. And Rachel says, give me the Dudaim. And Leah says, you took my husband. And what does Rachel do? So take your husband. Amazing. What a view that the Kliyakar is sharing with us. She goes to the opposite extreme. V'husha mitchila, at first, niskana, she was jealous. Afilu b'achosa, even with her sister. V'achakach, and then afterwards, lo niskana, she wasn't jealous anymore. Afilu b'shifchasa, even with her own maid. Al-kein amra, she says, shebizchus she'achnis tzorasi leveisi, v'ibaneh gam anochi mimena. She's not saying that Bila's child will be my child. She's saying, Ibonea nochi mimena, that because I'm introducing Bila into the equation, I'll have the opportunity myself, Ibonea nochi, I will be able to build mimena from the fact that I brought her into the equation. It was worth it for this class just for that. Come on. Yes? Yes. Okay. Nancy, did we answer your question?
I still wrestle with you.
Okay, you still wrestle. Yes.
I mean, I think it's a great message, that I know that I have children. And it's not so simple. It's like you're saying that, okay, there's something in your character that's flawed, that she was flawed. I don't know. I just feel like there's too many other factors that come into play.
I agree with you 100%. In the sense that, yes, to make it look so simplistic, but you know, we have a view in general of the Torah, a couple of things. Number one, this idea of tefillah moving mountains, I mean, I spoke about this on Shabbos, is not something that we easily identify with unless we've experienced such a thing. Okay? How many times have you heard of somebody, the doctors give them 6 months, the person lives another 20 years? Okay? I mean, that's changing nature. It's changing nature. Okay? If a doctor says 6 months, because every textbook says 6 months, then the person lives another 20 years, something happened. Okay? So unless you've experienced something like that, you know it's hard to see that happening, or to appreciate that happening. Agreed.
I can appreciate it.
Right. Okay. Agreed. People going through infertility, I'm sure, suffer tremendously. People who have lost children, people who've had miscarriages, people who've had late-term miscarriages, etc. No question about it. And I, it would be unfair to say, oh, look at how simple it is, because I don't think it was simple. I don't think it was simple. The difference between then and now is that the only thing that they could rely on is God. And nowadays, there's God and there's medical intervention. At the same time, as we all know, even those who try medical intervention, the devout say, the doctors can do all they can, you got to pray. You got to pray. And it's in every aspect of life when people want things which seem impossible. Okay, I'm going to pause this for a second because I don't want to. I'll tell you something Okay, so two more things which we're going to look at. Number one, just look at the very next chapter, the very next paragraph, which describes when Rachel finally does give birth. Okay, and let's see. Starting on the end of the second line in the Kli Yakar. So the pasuk tells us that when Rachel gives birth, she calls the son Yosef, which Yosef means God should add to me. Yosef Hashem Li Ben Acher, that I should have one more child. So look at what it says here. He quotes the Bereishis Rabba, Amar Yaakov Im Avanim Mitzachos Zol Lezo Yodei Ani She'ani Ma'amid Shnei Masar Shvatim. So it's quoting the Midrash that says that the rock which Yaakov used as a pillow at the beginning of the Parsha, that he used the 12 stones and they turned into one stone. Whatever that means, I'm not going to get into whether that's literally what it means. It's a longer conversation. But the idea is that if 12 can be combined into one, Yaakov understands that I'm going to have 12 tribes. And once I have 12 tribes, then my family is complete. Okay? Shema Minah Shaya Mesupak Im Yetzu Mimenu Shnei Masar Shvatim. Yaakov wasn't sure if he was going to have 12 tribes. But when Rachel said in prophecy, Yosef Hashem li ben acher, God should add to me one child, but she didn't say, Yosef Hashem li banim achirim, she didn't say, God should give me more children. Shema Mina, it is teaching us, Sheruach Hashem diber, but again, the Spirit of God spoke through her mouth. That Yaakov is going to be having 12, v'lo yoter, and not more. Al kain amar Yaakov. That's why Yaakov was able to turn to Lavan right after the birth of Yosef and say, Shalcheinina, send me. Ki az hayabatuach shelo yuchal Esav lahargo. He knew that if I'm going to meet my brother, I'm going to go home. There's no way Esav can kill me because I need to have child number 12. Not child number 12, but son number 12. Shari Adayin lo nolad Binyamin, because Binyamin hadn't been born yet. He says, Gam lo haisamu baris Adayin. And he knew that Rachel wasn't pregnant yet, so he had time. He had time. And sure enough, Binyamin isn't born until after he meets Esav in the beginning of next week's Parsha. So Yaakov knew that meeting was going to work out well for him.
He wasn't so laid back, though, when he was greeting Esav.
All right, but in the end, that's true. But in the end, the Machaneh HaNishar Lifleita, the camp that was set up to run away, never ended up running away. So that's another point to bear in mind. All right, let's turn to the last thing on the packet that I gave you. We're going to conclude with this. I wrote in my notes, finish with this. So maybe this is a good one. Okay. So at the very beginning of the parsha, so if we go back for a second, it's Perek Chaf Ches Pasuk Chaf. Perek Chaf Ches Pasuk Chaf. Okay, page 146, Perek Chaf Ches Pasuk Chaf. So this is after Yaakov has his dream with the ladder, and he makes this is when he's making the promise to God. Vayidar Yaakov Neder Limor. He makes a promise to God. Or he makes a vow, whatever. If God will be with me and He watches over me on this path that I'm going, gives me bread to eat and clothing to wear, B'shavti b'shalom beis avi, and I return home in peace. V'ayah Hashem li l'elokim, and God will be my God. V'yavan azos asher shamti matzeva, yeh beis alom. I never really know where his own promise begins. Is b'shavti, is v'ayah Hashem li l'elokim, is that part of his condition? That if God is my God, then I will make the stone into a house of God? Or is he saying that if all that happens, then God will be my God, and I'll make the stone into a house of God? So I'm not really sure as to where that breakdown is. But in any case, im yelokim imadi. Okay? So this is a very important thought about emunah in general. So back to the Kli Yakar, last paragraph on the packet. Im yelokim imadi. Chalil alamar. Do not say Shaya Yaakov mesupak beavtachas Hashem Yisbarach, that Yaakov was in doubt about the promise of God. Ki kvar amar lo Elohim, God said to him, v'hine anochi imach l'shmartich b'chol asher ilech. God said, I'm going to be with you, and I'm going to guard you everywhere that you go. That was in the dream. That's in the dream. That's in the psukim right before this. Ella biar inyan. Who? She Yaakov lo bikesh klal shmir asaguf shekvar uftach bo. Yaakov was not asking for physical protection because that was promised him. Ela bikesh achshav al shmir asa nefesh min achet. What's Yaakov asking for? For the protection for his soul from sinning. Ve'eid al zeh. The proof is ki be'avtachas Hashem Yisbarach ne'amar u'shmarticha b'chol asher teilech, because God promised him, said, I'm going to guard you wherever you go. V'Yaakov amar u'shmarani b'derech hazeh asher anochi olech. And Yaakov said, if when he watches over me on this path asher anochi olech that I am going on, v'hayol amar u'shmarani b'chol asher teilech, he should have said, I'm sorry, b'chol asher elech, he should have said, he should guard me all that I go, elech. But he says asher anochi olech. Anochi olech, gamilas anochi miuteres legamri. The word anochi is completely extra. Elech means I will go. Anochi olech also means that I will go. So why doesn't it say elech? It says anochi olech. It should say anochi olech. I'm sorry, he does say anochi olech. It should say olech. That should be enough. Yes, Rabbi K.
The question whether he's talking about the future, he's talking about the
right, Asher Anochi Holech, right, that I'm going on now, okay? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu Amar V'ashivo Sicha, and God says, I'm going to return you El Adama, to the land, Tala Ashava B'Hashem Yisborach, that return is dependent upon God. V'Yaakov, that God promised. V'Yaakov Amar, V'Shavti V'Shalom Beis Avi, he says, Yaakov said, if I return B'Shalom El Beis Avi to my father's house, Tala Ashava B'Atzmo, Yaakov is hanging that return on himself. Hashem Yisbarach Amar Elo Adama. God said, I'm going to return you to the land. Yaakov Amar El Beis Avi, I should return to the house of my father. What's the difference? Mikola Anashino Yima Elu, from all these differences, Nuchalu Mod, we can learn, She Yaakov Lo Bikesh, that Yaakov was only requesting Kiyim Al Shmiras HaNefesh Menachet, to be guarded, that his soul should be guarded from sin. Because this is something which is dependent upon man's choice, personal choice, with the help of God. He wants to return to his father's house, in other words, to the frum household, whatever, I use the word frum loosely, whatever it was that the household was, but a house of monotheism, a house of values. Shekenis Palel David. This is what David prayed for. V'amar, haveri naimir oshav, prevent my eyes from seeing vanity. That's why he recalls the guardianship over the body. And he's kir lashon kol. That's why God says b'chol asher telech, and all that you go. Ki kol adrachim b'chezkas sakana v'alichaso b'drachim rabim. Because all paths that a person go on have a chazaka of being possibly dangerous, and Yaakov's paths are many. But there's only one good path. And so that's why Yaakov says, you should be watching over me on this path. It's like he's pointing to this one. About a specific path that he wants to be, that he's referring to. And this is the path of God and Torah, mitzvos, and whatever, again, whatever that means in terms of the avos and what their relationship with God was. Obviously, they didn't have the Torah as we have it, because then Yaakov could read that book and, you know, say whatever he wants. It's not referring to that, but it's the path of Torah mitzvos. Ki kvar amar achein yesh Hashem b'makom hazeh. Because Yaakov had already said, God is here in this place. Ki misham teitze Torah, because that place, the place which was Har Moriah, the place which Moriah means a place of teaching, a place of showing. This is where God's word comes from. Okay, alkein amar hazeh. That's why he said this one. Kemarei be'etzba al davar shu lefanav v'hubeis Elohim asher menu dorchim derech sula lelech b'darchei Hashem isbarach. Yaakov is pointing to this path where he wanted, where he knows that the path of God and the ways of God comes from. Ulufisha alicha b'derech haTorah talui b'bechira social adam. And since the path of Torah that a person is going to go on is dependent upon a person's free choice, al kein hosif milas anochi. That's why Yaakov had it to add the word Asher Anochi, that I am going on. V'amar Asher Anochi Olech, that I am going on. Ki bi talui hadavar. It's really dependent on me, on my choice. B'tzira v'ezer Elohi, with God's help, Asher Alav Amar Ushmarani, about whom that Yaakov said he should guard over me. L'kach Amar v'shavti b'shalom. Shalem Anachim. He says, when I come back in peace, shalom means in peace, but it also means shalem, complete. Complete from sin. But he was depending this, he was hanging the dependence on his return on himself. Because it really is dependent upon a person's free choice. And regarding the guardianship of the body, yeah, return to the land, because God's eyes are always on the land. Right, God watches over you in the land. And I'm not talking about terrorism, not going in there. Again, this is it's an esoteric idea, and whatever it means, the point is that I need special guardianship from God when I'm outside the land. But if I'm returned to the land, God's watching over the land, more so than he is outside the land. All I needed was a promise that God would put him back to the land. But once he gets back to the land, then he's automatically protected. But to be protected from sin, that he shouldn't learn from Lavan, not just Lavan specifically, that even, you know, other people who live around, not so good. He shouldn't learn from the Amorites. That's why he said, I want to return, shalom and free from sin, to the house of my father, because if I return in that way, then it will be proof positive that I did not learn from the ways of the Rishayim. So I thought this is a great message to leave with, to just remind us all that the spiritual pursuit and spiritual life does need God's help. But in the end of the day, it's the choices which we make. The choices which we make to guard ourselves from sin and to promote a living in a godly existence, which is conducive to getting closer and closer to God in the lives which we are blessed to have. Thank you very much for coming, for joining. I wish everybody a good